Well, it's been a couple of weeks since they let me preach here at this campus. I've been on the move, bouncing around to a few different campuses, and I'm very, very happy to be back with you this morning. We've had all different kinds of things going on. I've been on the move. I know that a lot of you have been on the move this summer. I hope that you've had a break. I hope that you've had some fun before the kiddos go back to school and the new routine starts. My family, you guys know this. They joked with me at the Champions campus. I didn't have one fishing story in my sermon at that campus, and there are a lot of people that I think had predicted there would be one. And so I'm going to open up this morning with one for you. Chelsea and I were out fishing not too long ago. Something funny happened, and they got it on video. Check this out.
Yep, you're on. Oh,
I can't believe I'm getting this on video. Just go past him, Clayton. Go in towards
All right,
him
that's
and
good.
Past him.
Okay, you can tell from the accent that wasn't me and Chelsea. But that's something that it would not surprise me if that happened when the two of us were out there on the water together. Listen, I can totally relate to that guy. Favorite rod in the water, big fish on it. He was going to do whatever it took to get that rod and to get that fish. And the way the video ends, he got the fish, right? He got exactly what he was after because he was willing to do whatever it took to get there. And listen, we all have those moments in life, right? Where our goal or where the mission is so important that we're willing to do that. That we're willing to dive in and do no matter what it takes. I know you've had those moments. Maybe it's not a fishing pole. Maybe it's more serious than that. But just think for a minute. And when it comes to your family, what are you going to do? You're going to do whatever it takes to make sure that your family's provided for and taken care of, right? Doesn't matter. You're going to do it. It's that important. For some of you, when it comes to your job, when it comes to your business, your company, you're going to do whatever it takes, right? You're going to work the hours. You're gonna grind, you're gonna think, you're gonna plan, you're gonna pray, you're gonna do whatever it takes because it matters that much. When it comes to your health, and I talked to a buddy this week, just got out of the ICU, been there over 2 weeks. Young guy, heart attack, never saw it coming. I talked to him and I said, well, what are you gonna do now? He said, I'm making changes. I'm gonna do whatever it takes to get my health right. Why? It's worth it. For the sake of his family, to be there, to continue raising his kids, right? The scenario might be different for each of us, but all of us can relate to that mindset, right? I'm gonna do whatever it takes to get done what I need to do or what God has called me to do. And as we open up God's word today, hopefully you're already there, Mark chapter 2, as we open up God's word today, what we're gonna see that same mindset, that whatever it takes attitude, right? And that's exactly who you and I should be as followers of Jesus when it comes to pointing other people to Jesus. Here's the question for us this morning as we look to God's word. Am I willing to do whatever it takes to bring the people in my life to Jesus? All right, knowing Jesus, there is nothing more important in this life. And in Mark 2, we're going to see a group of guys that knew that. And they didn't just know it, they lived it. And they did what it took to see their friend come to the feet of Jesus. Look with me now, Mark 2, starting in verse 1. God's word says this. When Jesus had returned to Capernaum, after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together, so there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by 4 men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. Make sure you understand the scene here, right? As Jesus teaches, it is a standing room only event. The house is packed. The doorway is packed. The crowds have spilled out into the street at this point, so nobody else can get in. Right, if you showed up late, you were not going to be close to Jesus in this house. If you're outside, there's no chance of getting in and seeing Jesus there face to face. And it's at that moment, as the crowds had already spilled out, that this friend group shows up, right? That there's 5 buddies. 4 of them are healthy physically, right? That their legs work and they're able to move and carry the one that is paralyzed by his friends. Right? And the four that are doing the caring, they naturally wanted to get their buddy to Jesus in order to be healed. That makes sense, right? Think that you and I, if we'd heard of Jesus doing the miracles that he had done, if we had heard of this new teacher around that could bring healing to the sick, if we had a friend in the same situation, we would want to see our friend in front of Jesus. Well, we see when they got there that they couldn't get in front of Jesus, or that they couldn't even get in the door, but they didn't give up. Why? Because they were willing to do whatever it took to get their friend to Jesus. Don't miss that mindset from these guys this morning. They didn't wait outside and leave it to chance. They didn't stand there hoping that Jesus would pass by when he was done and they might have the opportunity to speak with him for a moment. They didn't tell their friend, hey, we gave it our best effort. We're gonna go home and hopefully Jesus will be around here again and we can try at a later time. That they didn't do that, right? That they wouldn't take no for an answer. They did whatever it took. Look back at verse 4, if your Bible's still open there. It says they climbed up onto the roof. Think about that for a minute, right? Their houses were different than ours. Most of them would have had an outside staircase that went up onto the roof, sort of a flat deck kind of situation that was used to lounge, just escape the heat, dry clothes, all of that kind of stuff. That they didn't have to be Spider-Man to get up there, right? That there was a staircase that led them there. And the roof itself, once they got up top, it would have been sort of weak. Okay, it would have been made up of mud and sticks just sort of pasted together. Our roofs today are much better, right? My buddy Martin over here, he put my roof on, and I know that it is significantly stronger than what these guys were dealing with. I know that because I've walked on it to get my kids' toys off it. I seem like I'm doing that every week. Right, but because the roof that they were on was sticks and mud, all it took was a little digging. Right? They probably just used their hands and scraped through. And that's what they did. They broke through the roof of this house and they lowered their buddy, right, into the midst of the crowd, through the hole, right in front of Jesus. Can you imagine this? Right, imagine being in the room and somebody's coming down right here, right now. This guy, as he's being lowered down, he's in the spotlight. Right, he is now the center of attention in the room. And as he gets to the floor and that mat lays down, the Bible says, at the feet of Jesus, think about this, he's stuck. Right, he is unable to get up and to walk away. And so there he is, right, in the spotlight with Jesus, and he lays there. He's doing what you and I would be doing, right? He's looking up at Jesus with hope. He's looking up with Jesus at Jesus with expectation for Jesus to speak into his life, and he's wondering, I'm sure, what Jesus was gonna say. They all were, right? The room had to be shocked, thinking, how is Jesus going to address this? His buddies on the roof are wondering. I know their heads are poking through the ceiling, and they're looking, and they're listening, trying to see how Jesus is going to respond. Is Jesus going to heal our friend? Look what Jesus says. He shocks the room in verse 5. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Let that sit with you a minute. Your sins are forgiven. He didn't say your legs are healed. At this point, he doesn't say stand up and walk away. Think about the buddies on the roof, their heads to the ceiling. They gotta be looking at each other right now thinking, wait, what? What did he say? Sins, we're talking about legs. Well, what is going on in the room? Think about the crowds. People didn't say that. People didn't talk like that. There's this moment now that Jesus has created, right? He has created tension in the room. He's created wonder in the room. He's got this question now that's lingering in everybody's mind. Because when Jesus spoke and said, son, your sins are forgiven, Jesus said something that only God can say. And so some now, they're pondering the power of the statement. Wondering, is this teacher the one? Is this the Savior that God had promised? And they're leaning in to what Jesus is gonna say next. But we can't miss this too. There's others in the room that they heard the words of Jesus as well. And they hardened their hearts to what Jesus had to say. They didn't listen to Jesus. They didn't believe the words of Jesus. In fact, in their hearts, they began to question and turn against Jesus. Look what they said in verse 6. It says, some of the scribes, they were sitting there and they were questioning in their hearts. Why does this man speak like that? He's a blasphemer. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And immediately, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they questioned him. And he said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts?" The religious party immediately doubts Jesus. They call him a blasphemer. They say he shouldn't be saying those things. And technically, they're right. If Jesus was not God. But Jesus was God. And he proved it to him right then in that moment. In verse 8, he proved to the religious leaders that he was God by telling them what they were thinking and pondering in their hearts. Right? Only God could know what was going on in their hearts. Only God could know what was going on in their minds. Just like only God has the authority to forgive sins. And to further drive home the fact that Jesus is in fact God and does in fact have the authority to forgive sins, look what he does in verse 9. He's still speaking to them and he says, "Which is easier? That I say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or that I say to the paralytic, rise, take up your bed, and walk." Obviously, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven, isn't it? How are they going to prove that it happened or didn't happen? Right? There's no physical, tangible moment where they could argue about it and declare, yes, it did happen, or no, it didn't happen. But if Jesus looks at that guy and says, pick up your bed and walk, that's a prove it kind of moment. Either it can happen or it can't happen. Either Jesus did heal him or he didn't heal him. So as Jesus says that, he's saying, let me prove that I have the authority to forgive sins. Look at verse 10. It says, "But that you may know that the Son of Man," Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man. I believe this is the first time he did that in the book of Mark. And he's referencing a prophecy from the Old Testament, from the book of Daniel, where it talks about the Son of Man coming, the promised Savior, the promised Messiah. So as Jesus speaks there, calling himself the Son of Man, he's telling the crowd, he's telling the room, hey, the Savior, right? That the Savior's here and the Savior's come. Look at that verse, reading it like that. "But that you may know that the promised Savior, Son of God, has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose immediately. He picked up his bed and he went out before them all. So they were amazed and they glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Very clearly in Mark 2, we see that Jesus is God. He has the power and the authority to heal our bodies, to forgive our sins, to heal our hearts, and to heal our souls. And knowing that, right, knowing that Jesus is God, knowing that Jesus has that power and authority, that should shape how you and I live as followers of Jesus, right? We should be just like the guys on the roof, right, digging the hole, if that's what it takes, willing to do whatever we need to do in order to get other people to Jesus. We can learn a lot here, right? Way more than we have time for this morning. But I want to zero in on three specific lessons that are applicable to each one of us from this chapter. And the first is this. It's very simple, guys. We need Jesus. Okay, we need Jesus. Write it down if you're taking notes. Put it on your mirror. Put it somewhere where you see it every single day. Listen, over and above every other person and every other desire, guys, Jesus and Jesus alone is the number one need in our lives. In Mark 2, these guys showed up, great guys, faithful guys. They showed up with their friend, and they thought they knew their friend's number one need, right? I mean, if you would have asked them on the way, hey, what does your buddy need more than anything right now, that they would have said, we need his legs to be healed. Like, that's his number one need, and you can understand why they'd say that. Right, a paralytic in that day didn't have many options. They didn't have much help. They were completely dependent on the charity of strangers and acquaintances to take care of them. Right, but even so, as that guy sat before Jesus reminded that man, he reminded everyone in the room, he reminded his friends on the ceiling, and he reminds you and me as we read this story, that yes, the legs there, they were a need. They were a real need. They were a pressing need, but they were not the greatest need. Jesus addressed the man's heart first. Be reminded this morning, no matter what you have going on, your biggest need is Jesus himself. So many of us right now, we're being pulled in a million different directions. We have real struggles. You may have real concerns in your life right now, real questions, pressing questions. You might be walking through certain scenarios or situations and you honestly don't know how some things in your life are going to work out right now. And as those struggles, as those concerns, as they pile up, it's easy to be overwhelmed. It's easy to have your mind pulled towards the struggle and begin to think, listen, my number one need right now is money. It's easy to get stressed out in that way. Man, my number one need right now is my health. My number one need right now is my kids. My number one need right now is my marriage. My number one need right now is my issues and what I have going on. Don't miss what Jesus is doing here in Mark 2. He speaks to our hearts. He speaks to our minds and reminds us that every single day when we wake up, we have no greater need in our life than Jesus himself. Because of his faith in Jesus, look, this man's sins were forgiven. I'd say to you, if you've never placed your faith in Jesus this morning, if you've never believed in him as the perfect Son of God, as the Savior of the world, that is your greatest need. To trust Jesus, to have your sins forgiven, and to become a child of God, just like the man on the mat right here. And I'm telling you, Jesus wants to meet that need today. Everything that you've been searching for, right, is right here in Jesus. And if you are a believer in Jesus today, if you've trusted Jesus at some point over the course of your life, guess what? He's still your greatest need, right? That doesn't change every day. When you wake up, you find your purpose, you find your peace, you find your passion, you find your joy, your existence in a relationship with him. Through prayer, through his word, through his people. Listen, preach this word to your heart this morning. If you're struggling, if you're overwhelmed, remind yourself, no matter what else we think we need or what else we actually really do need, know and understand that Jesus tells us we need him first. Write that down today. My greatest need today and every day is a relationship with Jesus. Second, in Mark chapter 2, we see this. We need those friends that will do whatever it takes to get us to Jesus, okay? You need someone to pick up your mat from time to time and bring you to Jesus. It doesn't matter how long you have been walking with Jesus, there's gonna be moments where you might take your eye off the ball, right? Moments where you get distracted or overwhelmed or frustrated, or honestly, there might be moments in your life where you just get spiritually lazy and you stop growing and you stop connecting and you stop doing what you know God has called you to do. I remember as a freshman in college, right, those first few weeks, there was a moment, and I took my eye off the ball, and I got lazy, right? But thank God I had a godly friend like this that was willing to do whatever it took to get me to Jesus. And some mornings that involved thumping my bunk bed over to roll me out. So I would get up and stay connected to my church family, right? I was in a season of my life where I needed accountability, and I needed community. I needed that then, and I need that now. We all do, but that's the picture that we have in Scripture. These guys had faith. They knew that Jesus was what their buddy needed. They weren't sure the number one need, but they knew that Jesus was the answer, and nothing was gonna stop them, right? Their buddy was going to meet Jesus. They ripped a hole in the roof. Think about the consequences of that. They were willing to do whatever it took. I'm sure they're gonna have to pay for the damage. Someone ripped a hole off your roof, you'd expect them to make it right, wouldn't you? These guys put their dollars on the line. Or these guys put their finances on the line here. That's a major financial risk. Not only that, they risked social issues as well. Right? They were willing to look foolish. They were willing to be mocked. They were willing to be kicked out. They were willing to be shouted down. They were willing to be rejected. They were willing to be told to leave. Listen, they put themselves completely out there for the sake of their friend. They were willing to do whatever it takes. Look, you need those people in your corner. You need friends that are willing to do whatever it takes to ensure that you know and to ensure that you are walking and growing and loving Jesus more and more every day. Do you have those people in your life? Do you? Those people that'll be there pointing you to Jesus no matter what, who are they? Jot them down. To think about them for a minute. Who are those people in your life right here, right now? Who is it that's willing to give their time? Who's willing to give their money, their resources? Who is willing to risk rejection, to risk their reputation? Who's willing to pick up the corner of your mat, if necessary, and ultimately bring you to the feet of Jesus? What's that look like? But these are the people that they give you godly advice. That as you walk through something, these are the people that tell you what the Word of God has to say about your situation. They're not the people that answer with the worldly answers. They're not the people that tell you to focus on yourself. They're the people that redirect you and point you to God. And these godly friends that you need, they're the ones that come alongside you in the storm with love and prayer. They're the ones that are there for you in the seasons of grief and loss, loving you with the love that Christ has given them. They're the ones that are willing to have the tough conversations with you when sin creeps into your life. They're the ones that are willing to sit down with love, carry the corner of that mat, but by taking your heart and your mind, your eyes off of the sin issues in your life and putting them back on Jesus. We need those people in our life, or those people that are willing to pick up the corners, those people that are willing to ensure that we stay connected to other believers that love us and that want to see us grow. Mark 2, think about this man on the mat. His life changed forever. His eternity changed forever. Why? Because he had friends that would carry him to Jesus. He had friends that would do whatever it took to get him to Jesus. Don't miss that. Make sure you have those people in your life. Where do they come from? Great question. If you don't have those people now, and you know from God's word that you need them in your life, and I want to encourage you, find community in the church family. Next week, we have what we call our kickoff Sunday, right? And we do that every August. If you're new around here, here's what it means. It means that our kids and our students, they just move up a grade to their next classes. They're changing grades at school. They'll move to the next grade here in our kids' ministry and in our student ministry. But for adults, most of us aren't graduating and moving up to another grade. We've been there, done that. But what it means for our adult classes, well, we're going to launch a few new adult life groups. You could jump in on the ground floor of one of those. We're sort of going to relaunch our existing adult life groups. It's a Sunday where there's a lot of new people there. A lot of opportunities to make a connection. Listen, I want to encourage you, right? Make sure that you are surrounded by people that are willing to pick up a mat for you. That kind of community, it exists in these life group classes. Get in one. Scan the QR code on the seat, find one. Go to the welcome desk, grab the printout and find one. Listen, be connected to other people. It takes a little work. Relationships take some effort, but if you do the work, you're very quickly going to find yourself in the same kind of relationships that we see here. People that are willing to do anything in order to see you walk with Jesus. And as that begins to happen in your life, as you have those relationships, you need to know this too. You have a job in those relationships as well. That's our third point this morning from Mark 2. We don't just need others carrying us to Jesus. We too need to be the kind of friends that will do whatever it takes to get people to Jesus. You know what that means for me and you? That means action, right? That means doing something. When I look at these guys and what they're willing to do for their friend, I'm reminded, right, that my life, right, should be aggressive and I should have an intentional lifestyle introducing people to Jesus, the only one that can forgive our sins, the only one that can make us right with God, the only one that can promise heaven and eternal life, right? Our lives, the pattern of our lives, should be bringing people to Jesus. Think about this story. Crowds of people were there. Small town. Most of them probably walked by that paralytic on the way to Jesus. A lot of people left him sitting there, didn't they? Four people stepped up, and they were willing to get him there. And don't miss what Jesus says about those four in verse 5. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, when he saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven. Everything that these men did, it was driven by faith. The move of God that day, it was in response to faith in Jesus. As we seek as we desire to see people in our lives come to know Jesus as Savior, well, we've got to understand that it starts with faith, right? Mark 2:5, that verse right there, that's the first mention of faith in the book of Mark. And the faith there, what is it tied to? And that faith there is directly tied to action, right? We see that the real faith, that true faith, that saving faith, it's a faith that moves us to action. Faith isn't just a knowledge about Jesus. Faith is active trust in Jesus to meet our deepest needs and the needs of people in our life. We can work all day long. We can do all day long. We can have tasks and a checklist and all that. But we can't forget that the action we see here in Mark 2, that it starts with faith. So we talk about action, and action is important. Don't get so caught up in yourself that you forget to depend on God through faith, through prayer. That's where the power is. That's where the life is. Please don't hear me overemphasizing what we can do and underemphasizing what God can do. God's the only one that can meet needs. God's the only one that can change our hearts. Trust him to do it. Have the faith that he will, and let that faith in God move you to a place of action. These men here, they had faith and they took action. Each one of them, right? Took them all. One person didn't do this by themselves. That they grabbed a corner. They got their buddy to Jesus. As I prayed about this message, I prayed that at this moment, God would be stirring in our hearts right now. That God would be stirring in your heart, putting on your mind people in your life that need Jesus. People in your life that you can live this out with, that you can begin doing whatever it takes to bring them into a saving relationship with Jesus. I pray that God is urging you, pushing you to pick up a corner to do whatever it takes. You might be wondering, what does that look like? Let me just offer three suggestions. If we're going to be the kind of people that do whatever it takes to get people to Jesus, the first is very simple. You could probably guess it. All right, the first thing that we need to be doing is this. We need to be telling people about Jesus. Right? We need to be telling them about Jesus. Jesus said, Matthew 28, right before he goes back to the Father, he says, hey, listen, make disciples and then teach those disciples everything I've taught you and show them how to live it out. Right? Jesus says, tell people. In Acts 1:8, Jesus says, guys, I'm going back up to the Father. I'm putting this mission in your hands. You need to tell people what you have seen, tell people what you have heard, tell people how to step into a relationship with me. That is what God has called us to do. Tell people. Tell the people you live next door to, tell the people that you work with. Students, you're going back to school. You're all thrilled about it, right? Listen, those classes aren't accidents. Those teachers aren't accidents. Those teams, those organizations, those sports, those bands, that choir room, it's not an accident. You're in a situation in your life where you are around more people every day than you ever will be the rest of your life. And use the opportunity God's given you there to point people to Jesus. Parents, we're sweating it out on the sidelines, right? 110 degrees, watching our kids play these different sports if you're out there. A lot of grandparents, by the way, are at the fields watching their kids too. Listen, God has us there for more than conversations about the Verlander trade, okay? He's got us there for more than talking about what teacher our kid got. We get hours with parents, hours with families. We can love them. We can build relationships. We can tell them about the one that can meet the deepest needs of their life. Tell people. The friends you hang out with on the weekend, college buddies you still hang out with, you don't need me to tell you who to share Jesus with. You know who. God's got them on your heart right now. I'm confident of that. When was the last time that you told someone about Jesus? If you can't remember, it might be time here. I heard a great story this past week. Right, someone in our church family on vacation, and they had an opportunity. They had an opportunity to do this. Or to do whatever it took to tell someone about Jesus. They met someone that was searching. They met someone that knew there was more to life than what they were currently experiencing. They met someone that was going through a season of deep need. And that member of our church family, man, they didn't say, man, I'm on vacation. I'm supposed to be checked out. I'm supposed to be unplugging. I'm supposed to be focused on myself. You know what they did? That they did this. With a heart full of love and a faith that drove them to action, that they shared Jesus with the person that God brought into their life. And let's do the same. Let's ensure that we're a church family committed to telling people about Jesus. Second, if we're going to do whatever it takes, let's be people that connect other people to the church family. All right, I met a guy 2 weeks ago. We had a conversation about Jesus. He trusted Jesus as a Savior. He knew that he's working through it, the very, very difficult time. And if he was going to learn, if he was going to grow, if he was going to stay on the path that God had called him to, he knew that he was going to have other believers in his life that held him accountable. If you're here, if you're connected, be a connector. Or be an inviter. Bring someone to worship with you. Bring someone to a life group with you. Point them to Jesus in that way. Every day you're surrounded by people that are lonely. Every day you're surrounded by people that need relationships with other people. Man, reach out to them. Grab a corner of their mat. Right? Bring them to a church family where they can be loved, invested in, and pointed to Jesus. And then finally, if we're going to be like the guys we read about here, if we're going to do whatever it takes, it means to, guys, that we're using the resources God has given us to bring people to Jesus. Right, that the chairs that you're sitting in right now, and they're a great example of that. Right, for many, many years, people in our church family from this campus and from other campuses, that what they do, they poured their finances into this place so this land could be bought, so this building could be a reality. And guess what? That their spiritual investment has produced unbelievable returns. Right, in the last 10 years as a campus, we've seen over 600 people saved and baptized. Right, with 230 of them coming in the last year and a half to 2 years, I'd say that their investment in the kingdom of God paid off. They were stewarded well. That student building, we talked about it earlier, and that's another great example of that. We've got the opportunity next Sunday to put our resources towards the kingdom again. Not just one of us, not just a handful of us, but all of us picking up our corner and working together to bring people to Jesus. I know a lot of families are talking about this right now and what they can do and what it looks like. And I also know that it looks different for each one of us. But one family sent me a text about what their kids planned to do. Check out this picture. Their kiddos are awesome. They heard about it. They wanted to jump in. They set up their lemonade stand, right? Rice Krispie treats and lemonade. They raised $45, and they're using those resources to go towards that building. That's unbelievable. Man, they got it. They get it, right? They want to see people know and love Jesus. Man, let's join them. Let's pick up our corner of the mat and come next week prayed up and ready to do the same, to use our resources to point people to Jesus. It's not just money. It's all that we've got, though. Chelsea and I found that one of the most effective resources we have for pointing people to Jesus is it's just our home. It's where we live. Inviting people in. Sitting down with neighbors, loving them, encouraging them. When you sit at the table with someone, the conversation changes. The relationship changes. There's a new depth to it. There's a new connection to it. And God can use that to point people to Jesus. Listen, ensure that you are like the men we see in Mark 2, that you're living a life driven by faith in Jesus, that you're fully dependent on him, and that the faith that you have in him is stirring you up to bring other people to him as well. When that's happening, you're the kind of person that'll do whatever it takes to see people know Jesus. And here's a cool ending to this story. Right, that man that was lowered through the roof and that laid there at the feet of Jesus Man, if you're a follower of Jesus, one day you're going to get to meet him. Right, one day in heaven, you're going to get to talk to him about his friends, about that encounter with Jesus. You're going to ask him if his friends lowered him down slow and gentle, or if he was like some of my friends that would have just dropped me to the bottom. You're going to get to talk to him. You know why? Because he had people in his life that were willing to do whatever it took to get him to Jesus. As I think about that, the question I ask myself this week that I'm asking you guys now is this, is who else is going to be in heaven one day because of your life on earth today? Let's be the kind of people that do what it takes to bring others to Jesus. Would you pray with me? As we bow this morning, man, just confess to the Lord right now. God, I know my greatest need is you. I got a lot going on in my life right now. I'm pulled in a lot of directions. I'm stressed. I'm frustrated. I'm overwhelmed. I'm happy. I'm joyous. Whatever your current reality is, doesn't change your need, right? Just confess that to the Lord right now. God, my greatest need's you. God, I need you to work in my life. I need you to work in my family. I need you to work in my marriage. God, I need you to draw me deeper and closer to you each and every day. Or maybe you'd say, you know what? I'm like that man on the mat. I do not know you, God. I do not have a relationship with you. If that's you this morning and you've been searching for peace, for purpose, if you've been searching for joy or for happiness, man, I pray that this morning that search would end. I pray that you would know and understand that happens. That's available only in a relationship with Jesus. And that you can trust him today, just like these guys did. That you can have faith in him today. Become a child of God. If that's you this morning, don't leave here today. Don't leave here today without talking to one of us. We'd just love to pray with you and show you how to take that step of faith into a relationship with our Heavenly Father. If you know Jesus, if you know that he is your greatest need, then you also know he's the greatest need that anyone in your family is going to have. Make sure that you're talking to your family about Jesus. If you know Jesus, you know that he's the greatest need your neighbor, your coworkers, your classmates, your teammates are going to have. He's the greatest need that person you meet on vacation is going to have. He's the greatest need that person on the airplane as you're flying on your next business trip, and the greatest need they're going to have is Jesus. Just ask God right now, God, give me that burden, that love for people to ensure that I'm willing to do whatever it takes to see people in my life know you. Help me to be a person of action. God, that's our prayer this morning. Lord, we don't want to sit on the sidelines watching other people carry the mat. God, we know you've called each one of us to that. Looks different for all of us, but you've called each one of us to participate, each one of us to jump in, each one of us to grab a corner, each one of us to love our neighbor as ourselves, each one of us to make disciples, each one of us to love our community. God, I pray that this church family would continue to reflect that. God, that we would do what you've called us to do, that we'd love you well, that God, and that love for you would drive us to action and a love for other people. God, help us to have that mindset. God, we'll do whatever it takes to see our friends, our family, our neighbors, our community know you as Savior. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.